The epistle for the Mass today is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Brethren, we would not have you ignorant concerning those who are asleep, lest you should grieve even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so with him God will bring those also who have fallen asleep through Jesus. For this we say to you, in the word of the Lord, that we who live, who survive until the coming of the Lord, shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself, with cry of command, with voice of archangel, and with trumpet of God, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise up first. Then we who live, who survive, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John chapter 11, verses 21 through 27. At that time Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever thou shalt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus said to her, thy brother shall rise. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise at the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even if he die, shall live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Thus far the words of today's epistle and holy gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death.
I am the resurrection and the life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, first I'd like to wish my sincere and deepest condolences to all family and friends of Joanne Helen Bogensberger, to John, Margaret, and Helen and their families, to their children, grandchildren, and all the relatives and friends. And on behalf of Joanne and of Joan and her family, I would like to thank all of you who came today to support the family and to pray for the repose of the soul of Mrs. B. I especially would like to thank Father Casimir Pascorius, came from Spokane, play the organ, well, do the graveside service, and the sisters who came from Spokane this morning so that we could have a Requiem High Mass. We are not here today to canonize a person. We're here today to commend a person to the good Lord, understanding that the soul of Joan is in the Lord's hands. We wear black at the Mass today because it's hidden from our eyes where Joan is as she has passed from time into eternity. But there are indications that we can look to be filled with hope and to understand and to have pretty good certitude of where Joan is, on account of how she lived. Mrs. B, as most of us called her, had three great loves among many. In my estimation, her three great loves were her faith, her family, and her country. Anyone who knew her knew this. Her perseverance in work, prayer, and sacrifice, and at times great sacrifice, to raise, teach, and care for her family is well known. Anyone that has eyes to see can see this. Among the many ways that she expressed her love and care, her passion as teacher stands out. How she taught her kids, how she taught others' kids. She went to school to become a teacher. Colorado State University, she got a bachelor in music. University of Washington to complete her master's degree in education. She opened a private school and dedicated her life to provide a good education to many young souls. The school that she opened among subbing at many other schools, teaching here at St. Mary's Academy, and touching and influencing many young souls. She was a good teacher. She taught them true values, not catering to their whims and wants, but to their real needs. Teach them responsibility, hard work, and discipline, not just by telling them, but by showing them and having a great responsibility, a hard work ethic, and a discipline herself. Mrs. B didn't necessarily tell you what you wanted to hear, but she told you what she thought you needed to hear. And if you listened, you could learn. I learned from her many a lesson. When dealing with Mrs. B, love for country came out an awful lot. She always liked to put on festivities for the great holidays. She had what I would like to call the dying virtue of patriotism. She really loved her country, and she counted the blessings that she had, and she tried to be a good citizen, praying for her country, thanking God for the blessings she found in her country, appreciating them, and trying to get others to appreciate and to count their blessings. She only taught about the history of the country, but she showed how we can be good citizens and contribute to our country by not just what we say, but who we are and what we do. As a teacher, the classroom wasn't her only place of teaching. She taught, and I think it was her best class that she taught was one of example, putting forth effort to get things done. Amazing effort. Old age, sickness, she did not use these as excuses. She oftentimes even went beyond. You're asking, Mrs. B, what are you doing? Are you feeling okay today? Because I'm fine. We have to get some things done. We have to get the flowers for Easter, or the poinsettias for Christmas. We have to get the linens done. Actually, I was talking to her son as he came to help set up for the Requiem Mass and the burial service. And she said, yeah, we found some linens in the refrigerator ready to be ironed. She was always doing those hidden chores, which she never asked for accolades, but she dedicated her life to the church. She was dedicated and had devotion to the things she loved. And among the things that she loved most of all was her faith. Many hours of planning, preparing, behind the scenes, as we said before, such things as church bazaars, parish activities, St. Patrick and St. Joseph dinners. We already mentioned the linens and the flowers, among the other things. She was in charge, or ahead of the Altar and Rosary Society, which helps take care of the liturgical needs. And I can't tell you how many times I went to her and asked her, Mrs. B, we kind of need such and such. And she always said, oh, we can do that. I don't think I ever heard her say, no, we can't do that. Or we can do that. I don't know how she did, but she figured a way to do it and to help things to get done. The greatest lesson that she taught, not only how she lived, but how she dealt with illness and how she prepared to die. I would ask her about how she was feeling, and she shared with me how sick she really was, but she wasn't doing it to complain. She was doing it because I asked her, but she had the spirit to offer it up. Remember we said teaching discipline? Discipline comes from the word disciple. A disciple is one who follows, and she tried to follow Christ. Remember what Christ said, if you want to be my disciple, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me, until exterior sight. This was Mrs. B. She was preparing for death, getting her affairs in order. She was resigned to her sickness. I can't say that she wasn't frustrated. She was frustrated, but she wasn't frustrated that she was sick. She was frustrated because she was slowing down and she couldn't do more. She was frustrated that she had to stay home sometimes when she didn't want to stay home but wanted to go out. She was a woman who was about service, spending and being spent in all charity. And so as we commend the soul of Joan to Almighty God, and we consider our loss, and we have lost, but not really. And I'll tell you why. I was thinking about this because I was really feeling the loss of, I don't know how to better express this, but the matriarch, one of the matriarchs of our parish. And the thought came to me, that's foolish. Yes, we miss her physical presence, but now she has an advantageous position to do more. And I do believe that. But as I said, we're not here to canonize anyone. We're here to commend the soul of Joan to Almighty God, that she may rest in peace. When I was in school, I graduated in 1990. I was taught a song that we sang it with the choir. And as I was thinking about giving the eulogy today, this song popped into my head. And I thought, that's perfect for Mrs. B. It was written by Steve Green in the late 80s, and it's called Find Us Faithful. And so this is how I will end today. I'll just read the lyrics. We're pilgrims on the journey of a narrow road, and those who have gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary. There lies a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race, not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us. Let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. After all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we left behind, may the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to that road we each must find. May all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Eternal rest granted to her, O Lord. May her soul and all the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.